Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight and open up to John chapter number 8 in the Word of God this evening. John chapter number 8 in the Word of God tonight. I'd like to just say this evening, what a blessing it was this morning. And several of our life stage groups were just about at peak and busting at the seams. And what God is doing here at Cross Point Baptist Church, we just continually, I mean this, now watch, we just want to continue to give honor and praise and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a Savior we serve. And to be able to come in this morning and to see the visitors, there were several families that were here that had invited folks. And boy, it's really amazing. And they were here this morning and the excitement that was in the room. And I know it's spring break and we still have a lot of families that are even not here this evening. But it's just always a joy to be able to come in and just to sing praises to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be excited about our God, and to dive into the passage of Scripture that we've been on Sunday mornings and now even this evening. I find our place tonight, going to do things just a little bit different. Might be a little bit more teachy than preachy this evening, but I believe what God has for us tonight is vital, and it is very important for us to be able to grow in this subject. In John chapter number 8, what I love about this passage of Scripture is there's just so much truth. You really could go through and really thrive on a couple of these stories. Anyone that I went to the Lord, I try to send them to the book of John because there's just so much growth here. And in chapter number 8, Jesus forgives the adulterous woman, and then the story of the light of the world. And then I love as Jesus begins to speak to the Father. And then we kind of dive into some of Abraham's seed and the devil's children and being honored by the Father. And all these subjects are really just packed into 59 verses here in this passage of Scripture. But for the next couple of moments, I want us to just kind of tune in to several verses and watch as God, right in the middle of this passage of Scripture, begins to pack in something that you and I can grow from tonight. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, John chapter number 8. Would you look with me at verse number 30 this evening? We're diving right in the middle here of Jesus speaking to these Jews and these converts. John chapter 8, look with me at verse number 30. And would you please follow along as I read? The Bible says this. And as he, talking about Jesus, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know, watch now, God's words, if you continue in those, then you're going to know the truth. And if you know the truth, then the truth is going to set you free. This evening, I want to approach this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled, Missing, Missing. I want us to look at the missing element tonight. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for today. It's just been amazing, Lord, the spirit that is in here. And Father, the music today just has been honor and glorifying to you. Thank you, Father, so much, even this afternoon, just the incredible fellowships that took place across our towns. And Lord, folks getting together and talking and crying. And Lord, just growth that is happening. Lord, it's authentic. This isn't fake. This is not something we can conjure up. No, God, this is all you. Lord, we give you the honor and the praise tonight. Thank you, Savior, for the visitors that were here this morning, and thank you for the visitors that are here tonight. But God, thank you for the faithful. Thank you, Father, for those that, the families, each and every. I know Sunday nights are not popular in churches anymore, but God, I'm thankful for an auditorium full of folks that just want to learn about you and grow in you. Now, Father, as we approach this passage of Scripture, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, may we major on what needs to be majored on. And Father, may we use this passage of Scripture this evening to grow us as individuals, but also for the future here at Cross Point Baptist Church. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus is speaking here and begins to dive into this monologue. He says, if you want to be my disciples, then you must continue in my word. What I love about this is the reason for this continuation of growing in him is because it is his words that you and I ought to dive into and make applicable to our lives each and every day. If you and I are going to grow, there has to be a point that we come to a place where we're growing in something. There's no doubt you and I grow each and every week. We're going to grow in what we watch. We're going to grow in what we spend our time in. You and I are going to grow in the things that we fill our mind with. But I want to ask us a question this evening. Are we growing? I mentioned this morning, and I don't want to become a pet peeve, but as a pastor that is protecting the flock in 2022, I think it just has to be said over and over again that we ought to be careful with what we're filling our mind and what we're filling our time with. If you saw the stats this morning of over 7.5 hours being spent on a phone by our teenagers today and over 3 hours a day on average that preteen age group spending on TikTok and the amount of time that young people are spending on YouTube. Now listen, before we jump all over a younger generation, let me put it this way. You and I could be just as guilty as well. The TV comes on at night, and what are we filling our minds with? Well, I watch this news channel, and they can be trusted. And okay, it doesn't matter what your flavor is, CNN or Fox News, MSNBC, CBC, CBS, ABC, it doesn't matter, comprehend. If that's all we're filling our mind with, if that's our intake, if that's what you and I constantly, that's what we have an appetite for, then that's what we're going to grow in. But if we truly are saved, and if you and I are going to be part of the family of God, and if we're disciples, then we want to know the truth. Then we ought to be growing. And where do we get that? Well, we have to continue in His Word. Now, as we continue in His Word, as you and I grow in the Word of God, as I say so often, this is our final authority. This is what we stand on. As we grow in the Word of God, even as a church, at times, there's a lot of things that we grow in. There's many of folks today that we have our hobby horse, we have our thing, that this is what we got to have straight. For some, it's music standards. For some, it's dress standards. For some, it's arguing over what version of the Bible. And for others, it's this. And I'm going to get a list of 15 different things. Now, hold on. We can grow in some areas, but what I want to ask us this evening, that if we as a congregation, a church, are going to grow, that means that we're going to come in and walk out differently, changed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to see some things in our life that we have to give attention to. In our services today and in our Baptist churches across the nation, there's a lot of things that I really believe, and you know my heart. I'm a Baptist. I'm independent. I don't think we ought to be part of a board. I'm fundamental, which means I believe the fundamentals of the faith. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the resurrection. Well, come on, somebody help me out tonight. Amen. Good grief. Got visitors here. It's like, well, they must not believe that. No, I comprehend. We are fundamental. We believe the fundamentals of the faith. But I believe that there's things we're good at. We got a choir, and it's a great choir. And Pastor Blake, I just went to wherever you went. Pastor Blake usually sits over here. Yeah, Pastor Blake, did he leave our? Oh, Pastor Blake, okay. Did a great job this morning. You moved places. It's weird, but Pastor Blake does a great job. If you agree with that, say amen. Man, the music today has been spectacular. I think we almost had to buy a new piano after Brother Palencia got done with it this morning. And the keys were smoking up here. It's unbelievable. The twins tonight. Wasn't that a blessing, the twins up here? I tell you, just the generation, man, is beautiful and wonderful. All the teenagers singing this morning, teenage girls singing. Look, there's things that we do great. And I believe one of them is music and worship in our music and praise to God in our music. We do really great, I believe, in our Baptist churches at life stage groups or connection groups, Sunday school classes, whatever you want to call them, okay? I think as breakout and getting in small groups, and we do a great job. They're growing, and there's friendship, and there's connection, and missions. Boy, praise the Lord for missions, and those even given towards, the Ukraine project and different projects, and we've got a missions conference coming up in October, and praise the Lord, it's great, and we give towards it, and we take 11% of our general fund here, and it goes towards our missions. Personal soul winning. Boy, we can check that off. I believe we do a great job, and families that are here today, and the track ranks that we're constantly, and I know I harp on that sometimes, but get back there at the Mission Center and grab those back there at Missions Corner, and man, we're good at handing them out and inviting folks to church. And it showed this morning with several families. I think it was about four families, Pastor Dan, that were visiting this morning. Brother Drew, I didn't get a count yet, but four families or so that walked in by people inviting. Okay, great, good. Let's check it off. We can give it an amen. Let's just invitation, we'll head out. Now, hold on, we're not that lucky. Now, listen, there is something that is missing. Oftentimes in our churches, we're really good at these things. We can check it off. We came in, we had a good Sunday service. I meet with all of our leadership team on Tuesday, and what we did, what we need to change. And boy, God always moves in those meetings, and great. But there is something that at times is missing. What about discipleship? Now, we have a screen up here that you've seen. It's been on Facebook and other media outlets of discipleship, the introduction, and coming soon. I want us to think about discipleship for just a moment. This is taking somebody one-on-one and teaching them about Jesus and his word. He said in his word, watch now, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. There's not just getting saved, great, got our fire insurance, we're good. No, the gospel, and especially being a gospel-centered church, has to be a continuation of growing in his word. There's a major factor among growing Baptist churches today, and it is an aggressive one-on-one discipleship ministry. At Cross Point Baptist Church, we need to begin to adopt a phrase: we add through evangelism, we multiply through discipleship. Watch now. We add through evangelism, we multiply through discipleship. Discipleship one-on-one is vitally important. As we headed into Brother Bird, the Beatitudes several months ago, we begin to, Brother Titus, look at Jesus stepping up and a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 5, and Jesus seeing the multitudes, took his disciples, he went up into a mountain, and when it was set, what was he doing there? There's thousands that could have gathered. He looked out. He knew the crowd. He knew what people needed. And yet Jesus walked away from the crowd, brings his 12 up into a mountain, and begins to teach them one-on-one. That's where we get the Beatitudes. That's where we get the Sermon on the Mount. That's where several chapters of Scripture is given towards this incredible, well, discipleship, this incredible teaching. There has to be an all-out effort. You say, okay, Pastor, so what do I do if we're going to talk about discipleship? What is it that I will do? Before we get to point number one, Emily, on the screen, I want us to think about this. There's a couple things that it's not going to be on the screen, but I want you to think about. If we talk about discipleship, now watch, if we take somebody one-on-one and we're going to dive into the word with them, well, Pastor, you're going to be there. No, not me, you. Well, okay, but you know, our deacons. No, time out. It's got to be people that have been saved for a long time. It's got to be the Sharp family. It's got to be Eric and Amy, right? No. I'm talking about all of us. What can we do? Okay, well, here's what we could do. First of all, some of you might not like this, but that's okay. First of all, you ready for this? Whew, let me get warmed up for this. We have to get excited. Amen. That was decent. We have to get excited. Amen. Like North Carolina's playing the Blue Devils, excited. Like, jump up and cheer. Charlotte, don't roll your eyes. Good grief. Now, look, okay. Like, get excited and in it. You know, I think sometimes in our Baptist churches, we're almost scared of that. Like, well, it's like, I don't like the word new, you know, and we're almost scared of something that's, well, I mean, we can't do that. Well, why not? Well, in the 1980s, we didn't. Hold on. We're talking about 2,000 years ago, Jesus started this. And if Jesus started, I think we could get excited about it. I think when we begin to introduce things at Cross Point Baptist Church and try new methods and new ways and new things, I think that ought to build some excitement. Why should it build some excitement? Because we're doing something that is a continuation of what Jesus Christ, check it out, started himself. We can get excited. How about this? Well, I'm not really the exciting type of person. Okay, fine. Let's be a curmudgeon. But for the rest of us, here's what we can do. We can also pray. Look,
Brother Beeman, we could pray. No, hold on. Brother Mike, we can pray. Bob, we can pray. Lynn, Brother Burkett, we can pray. I think a lot of times, and I've got to move this introduction along a little bit quicker, but just give me a moment, because what I am so afraid of as a pastor pastoring in 2022 is coming to the place where a lot of our Baptist churches have come to. I'm not picking on Baptists tonight, but I am one, so I can talk about them. Is we have come to a place where we are really okay with just being stagnant. Hold on, we're okay with being the status quo. We're okay with just being this. What's wrong with that? No, I have a foundation in the Word of God. I believe the eternal Word of God. I believe in the preserved, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Somebody help me out tonight, amen? I believe in the canon of Scripture. But I really believe many times, especially growing up Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee, where I grew up, there are churches and it's 25 people in it that used to run 1,000, Pastor Defoe. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. There was no more discipleship. There was no more training. There was no more growing. There was just kind of, we got in and we just did it. Let's run through Pastor Blake the motions. Let's get up there, sing a hymn, calm down. Brother Ben, lead us through this. Somebody get up there and play. Pastor, 30, 35, 40, 45 minutes. Get up there, get down. Hurry up, let's get out of there. And all of a sudden, we're playing church. Hold on. I'm not interested in playing church. We are the church. We are the church. Hold on. We are the church of the living God. Our God's alive. Our God reigns. Our God is seated on a throne. We can get excited, but we can pray, God, get in this place. What'd you do this afternoon? 90% of us raised our hand. We took a nap. Okay? Some may watch TV. Some maybe worked outside. It's a pretty day. Cleaned out the car. But we do all these things. Okay. But how many of us prayed for the services tonight? Do you see all of a sudden how real this gets? Man, we love to complain, but what about pray? Well, we love to come in and fill our pew, but what about praying? Look, we can get excited. We can pray, but also we can get involved. The subject that we're going to discuss this evening, this missing element that we have in discipleship, this is for everyone. Why discipleship? And why is discipleship for everyone? Well, here's where we're going to dive in to several quick just snippets this evening. Here's what I want to dive in. If we're going to be a disciple of Christ and we're going to continue in His Word, and after we continue in His Word, we're going to know the truth and the truth is going to set us free. Okay, this discipleship, this one-on-one is going to help us in several areas. Number one this evening, if you're taking notes, discipleship reminds. Number one, discipleship reminds. Discipleship reminds us that we must play an active role in fulfilling the Great Commission. When we lead through obedient lives, the people that God puts in our lives and our care, they're going to lovingly follow. Check it out. Watch now. They're going to lovingly follow the example that you and I leave for them. Our mission is before getting saved is always self. Now hold on. Whoa. Our mission in life before getting saved is self. What I want, what I can take, what's good for me, what's good for my family, my 401k, my retirement, my corporate ladder, my. After you and I are saved, watch very carefully now, our mission changes, and our mission, check it out, watch, is God's mission for you and I. If that makes sense, would you say amen tonight? After you and I are saved, you and I are changed. This is sanctification. You and I are set apart. We've talked about this many times, but everything in our life changes at that moment. You and I are different from the world. You and I have a peace, and you and I have joy, and you and I have happiness, and you and I, well, we're different than what the lost world is. You and I are able to go through life or a storm or the ebb and flow of life, and you and I have a God that is leading and a God that is guiding and a God that is directing our lives. That's our Savior. Watch now. We are different from the world. And before we're saved, it's me. After we're saved, watch very carefully, it's Jesus. God, what is my mission now? Before we're saved, self. After we're saved, Jesus. So what is Jesus' main mission for you and I? You ready for this? Hold on. Listen. Watch. Check it out. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Souls. Well, Liz, why didn't we just be whisked out of here when we got saved? Jeff, Katie, why didn't we give our lives to God? Why didn't we just, well, pff, here we go. We're out of here. Why are you and I here? What is the mission of life? Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. The number one mission, Cross Point Baptist Church, is not how big we can grow. It's not how dynamic the music ministry will be. It's not how big our life stage groups are. It's not the coolest church in town. It's not entertainment. No, no, watch now. The number one goal for you and I attending this church this evening or watching via live stream, the number one goal is souls. It's our mission. Proverbs said it this way, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. This is the reason that Jesus was here, and this is why he had men in ministry. Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. When Jesus said, watch now, come, he had a purpose. He has a desire, and that desire for our life, watch now, from Jesus on high is, watch now, caring for the souls of the lost and the saved. That's why Jesus said it this way. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. He said in the book of Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go ye in the world and preach the gospel. Watch now. To every creature. What discipleship one-on-one does is it's a reminder, hold on, of why you and I are here. If I take and Brother Mike, let's just say Judy brings Mike gets saved, and I begin to take the Word of God. Can I see your Bible, Brother Crampy? And I begin to take the Word of God, and I get together with Mike, who's just been saved, one-on-one. Now watch. And I begin to take him through. This is the Holy Spirit, and this is prayer, and this is tithe, and this is the local church, and this is sin, and this is sanctification, and this is redemption, and this is the blood of Christ. And all of a sudden, I start teaching him, watch, discipling Brother Crampy in the things of God. What is it reminding me of? Watch. What's put in his life? Who Jesus is and what he's done. It's a continuation of the word. But what it's doing me is it is reminding me, you ready for this? What life is all about. It reminds you and I what is number one. Number one in a lot of Christians' lives is getting on this bandwagon, jumping on this, and being over here, and hold on. The ultimate goal, Jesus said, the reason that he was here was not politics. The reason that he was here was not to change this. The reason he was here was not to raise it. No, the reason he was here was for the lost, to seek and to save that which is lost. Cross Point Baptist, I didn't preach this on a Sunday morning. There's a reason. It's because we have our family here, and I know we're missing a lot of folks tonight, but I want to remind us this evening of the purpose of why you and I are here. God forbid, excuse me, I know Satan's listening to this. I know his minions are all over this place, and I know it's going to be an attack just by saying what I'm about to say. But I'm here to tell you, I'm just going to be bold this evening and say it, that God forbid we ever just get in the motion of playing, the motion of religion, and forget that you and I have a relationship with the Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. Amen? No, may you and I be reminded that there is a reason. May you and I be reminded that there is a mission. May you and I, one-on-one in discipleship, what it does for us is it once again sets us in motion of, oh, yes, okay, instead of fighting this battle against so-and-so, instead of getting offended over this, instead of getting upset over this, instead of being mad at the boss and the manager, and they should be fired, and getting upset at the gas prices, and getting upset at the politics, and getting upset, oh, those things. Bad? No, not at all. I'm frustrated with it myself, but let me just tell you this. When I get one-on-one with somebody and begin to, like I was talking about with Mr. Crampy, one-on-one, we're talking, what it does, it reminds me of why Thomas Shepherd is on this earth. It reminds me of who I am in God. It reminds me that I must decrease and he must increase. It reminds me that we're not to put up with the racism of this world and the nonsense of this world and the majoring on the minor. No, it reminds you and I that we have a God in heaven that sent his only begotten son to die on an old rugged cross. He saved you and I. He cried out, it is finished. It is finished. We have the word of God. Now let's be reminded tonight what the church is all about. Amen. It's a reminder, but secondly, would you write this down? Discipleship refreshes. Number two, it refreshes. There is nothing more refreshing than seeing new converts growing and going in their faith with the pressures and the challenges of preaching four times a week and counseling and even one-on-one discipleship being here and having the school that we have and going through just, well, the motions of ministry. I will tell you this, one of the greatest joys is sitting down with somebody who is just learning about the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus. It's amazing to me how it refreshes me when I'm able to get with someone and just begin to walk them through. I want to show you what Jesus did for you. I want to show you who he is. I want to show you not just where we're going to live one day, and it's going to be wonderful. How many are excited about heaven? Would you say amen? But we're not there yet. So we're supposed to be miserable, and we're supposed to be mad, and we're just supposed to be, and we're just that, God, we haven't got there yet. We'll get there one day, and it's going to be great. But in the meantime, let's just put on our ugly faces and be mad at each other. No, that's not it at all. When we get to get with someone and just begin to show them, look what God's word says right here. Going through a tough time, look at the peace that God's given you. Oh, you've shrunk, yeah, got fired. Oh, Lord, didn't get the raise. Let me show you how God's got. Didn't somebody else got it? Okay, hold on. You all begin to walk someone through the very word of God. It's refreshing. You ever gone through a moment in life where you feel like you need that? Do you ever, let's get down to the nitty gritty, okay? You ever feel like in life we're not just going through the motions, but sometimes going through the motions, but then do you ever feel like just the world is very dark out there? You ever been hurt by somebody? Especially like you ever been hurt by somebody? I mean, have you ever gone through, Brother Mel, and you just feel like, man, I wish God would just come back. If you say, well, I've never really felt like that, I wish you'd go home, turn on CNN, and watch it for 10 minutes, and you call me, because that's exactly how you're going to feel. The whole world's crumbling. Everybody's going to die. I mean, I just want to say sometimes, newsflash, everybody's going to die one day, okay? And wars are going to happen. And rumors of wars. Reminds me of something in the Bible. I don't know. And it feels like everybody's disobedient. There's such rebels out there. Yeah, it's kind of in the Bible too. I just feel like we're getting close to the end. Like we are. You ever feel like you just want something refreshing? Read all this stuff this past week and compiling some stuff. And man, the whole world is after our kids right now. Public schools are, and I know maybe we have some teachers in here, and I praise the Lord, get in there and be a lighthouse. Man, our public schools, they are going just so in a direction that's anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-purity, anti-holiness. what is supposed to be for kids nowadays. You've read a lot of stuff, and you've watched this past week all about Disney and how Disney is out. And I'm just telling you, to be honest, Disney, they're after our kids. This gay and transgender agenda, and I'm here to tell you it is an agenda. They are not hiding it. They are bold about it. Now, as I talk about it, I'm not here to get an amen, but do you feel great right now? Nah. It's dark, isn't it? A little bit almost depressing. But you get alone with somebody and begin to share with them Jesus. I can't even say it without putting a smile on my face. Like you get in the Word of God, and have you ever been with somebody and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just begins to give you verses that you didn't even know you had memorized? You ever been there? You're like, where did this come from? The Holy Spirit's working, and he's moving, and all of a sudden this person gets a smile on their face, and boy, that just everything begins to change. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a reminder of the love of God. It's a reminder of who he is, but also it is refreshing. And if there was ever something that our church has needed today, it is the refreshing continuation and discipleship of the Word of God. It's refreshing, but number three, would you write this down? Discipleship reveals. It reveals. You see, because of the busyness of life, it's easy to get disconnected, even at times from church and from the church family. One of the greatest ways to stay connected to the church and the spirit of the church is to personally disciple new believers. When working and praying with new converts, God touches our hearts and he reveals some needs for the lost and those who've just been saved and those who need to get saved. I'm reminded, watch now, that Jesus was a man who was among the people. Discipleship gets us in. It gets us close. It gets us one-on-one. It gets us in with those who do not know. And it's incredible when you and I begin to teach them, as Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Attending Bible study? Check. Good. Great. Keep doing it. In fact, ladies, you have a Bible study coming up this way. Going to revival services? Good. Great. Check. Let's do it. Singing in the choir? Awesome. Attending church? Good. Three to thrive, baby. Okay. Good. Okay. We got it. Devotions? Yes. Reading through the Bible once this year? Got it. Getting my little Baptist bread? Okay. Look, we can check off all the boxes, but I'm going to ask us, are we in with the people? Friend, I'm sorry, but I refuse to be a church that just is a country club and a hangout and us four no more. The visitors, Brother George, we had coming in today, and Brother Drew, Miss Sharp, that you took down. I've been looking around. I was saying, I'll tell you that there's some of them kind of different. They weren't like us. I watched one couple. They didn't sing one hymn. They never opened their mouth. Probably didn't know those old hymns. They didn't know. Well, what are they doing here? I think they were looking for the church down the street. No, I think they were looking for Jesus. Well, I looked around and you know, that guy, he's been coming for a couple weeks now. And his shoes weren't very shiny. Really? That's what we're going to be hung up on. Well, Pastor wore a suit this morning. I didn't see him in a suit. I'm sorry. This is not the Thomas Shepherd show. This is about Jesus Christ. Comprehend, it begins to reveal our heart. Jesus was a person that was different. He hung around those that nobody else wanted to be around. Why is he letting that whore wash his feet? What is he talking to this little man up in a tree for? What's he talking to that woman at the well? Does he not know who they are? Jesus, he was God, friend. He knew exactly who they were, and yet that's who he chose to be around. What discipleship does is it reveals our heart. And friend, I'm just going to keep preaching it tonight. If you and I are not careful, we get into this mindset and this seeing that somehow we are better than everybody else, and we have to be more holy than everybody else, and boy, if you don't align with the way that I want to worship, well, then you're not right with God. Let me tell you something, friend. At times it has to be preached, that is absolute foolishness. We are here to seek and to save that which was lost, and then not jump up on a hobby horse of our standard and our preference and what we want. No, it's getting back to the very Word of God. It's getting to the basics. It's letting the Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and our lives. And then, if we're truly going to be disciples, then we're going to continue in what God has commanded. Then we'll know the truth. You know what the truth does? It reveals who we are. Well, look at me and look who I am, and I never hang around people like that. Congratulations. Your and my righteousness is as filthy rags. Well, look what I bought for the church. Look how much money I gave in the offering plate. Look what I did. Congratulations. Those things are great. Don't stop giving. Don't stop buying. Stop supporting. Support those missionaries. But let me tell you, it's not about us. No, we're the church. We're the body of Christ. We didn't hang. We didn't take the cat of nine tails. We didn't take the thorns of the crown and the brow. He did. The propitiation for our sins. When we get one-on-one with somebody and we begin to teach them, and we begin to personally bring them through the Word of God. Oh, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Well, I'm going to share with that in just a minute. Don't panic on me. I know it's 6:54, but understand, this is you and I taking someone, and when we do, I think at times it begins to really reveal to us our own hearts. At Cross Point Baptist Church, I think sometimes we talk about being old-fashioned. Listen, friend, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not interested in being old-fashioned. What? No, I'm interested in being timeless. Not old-fashioned like 20 years ago. I'm talking about like timeless 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and died and started his church. And this church, you and I, what we do week in, week out, will begin to reveal to us who we are and who we are serving. And if there has to be some things change, then God forbid we stop it. No, then we change. And if our heart needs to be tweaked, then let us be, as Pastor Dan preached us last Wednesday, let us have that heart that is willing to mold and willing to come together and willing to be that gospel-centered church that does what? What is our mission? Souls. Reminds, refreshes, reveals, but watch, discipleship removes. When something that we are doing as a church is not helping us fulfill the Great Commission, we have to be careful if we can start wasting our time. But when we stay focused on reaching the lost and baptizing them and then discipling them, it removes the things that we do that would take the focus off God. I love having fellowships, and tonight I know Pastor Dan's got probably 50 or 60 folks in his Life Stage group that they're going out to eat. In fact, let me just tell you, avoid Monocle's Pizza tonight, okay? If you're going to order, it's too late. You go somewhere else. But he's taking his group over there, and we love fellowship. How many love fellowship? Say amen. Amen. But that's not the only reason that we're here. I mean, seriously, if we just got together and let's just all sit back and we'll sing a hymn. Anybody have a testimony? Let's just hang out. We got an hour to kill. Anybody have anything to say? You know, what do you think, Brother Habing? I mean, you want to say anything? I tell you, this church, we have nobody in it. Because that's not the reason that we're just here. We're not here just to play some basketball games or watch kids kick a soccer ball. Those things are good and great. But I'm telling you, when we start getting one-on-one with somebody, it will at times remove the things that have become a priority. Where the mission of Jesus Christ once was. what at times needs to be removed in our life so that we get back to, is it the attitude? Is it the bitterness? Is it the upset? Is it the job? Is it the, what in our life have we come to this place where we feel like this is number one? I love music. Music is not the only reason that we come to church. I love fellowship. Fellowship is not the only reason that we come to church. Announcements. Oh, there's announcements, and Pastor Ann's going to get there. Okay, now announcements are good. It reminds us. Bulletins, printing it off. It's a lot of ink. All these live stream. Okay, there's a lot of things that we do. But I'll tell you, the reason that you and I congregate is so that we can be like Jesus. Amen? How's that done? Through the foolishness of preaching and by opening up the Word of God and finding out the truth, and the truth sets us free. Lastly, don't shut your Bibles right here. Now watch, number five, discipleship revives. Discipleship is an open secret to personal and corporate revival in our lives, and also right here at Cross Point Baptist Church. When Christians are teaching new Christians, they are being revived as they teach. The disciples are being revived as they grow. There's a wonderful spirit amongst people that are serious about people, seeing people grounded and growing in their faith. It does something for us. It revives. Watch now. And the truth shall make you free. Do you want to be free from bitterness? Do you want to be free from sin? Do you want to be free from the priorities that have had you down? Then you've got to get in His Word. When you get in His Word, and when you get to share it with somebody else, it changes. Now listen, I'm done. Watch this, Cross Point. Our priorities as a church right here in the Indianapolis area, friend, I'm just here to tell you, I feel just so blessed to be a part of it. To be here over the last year and a half and what God's done and worked, I just have to say this evening. I just want to raise my hand in testimony. It's all because of God. I thank the Lord for Him, what He's doing. I love the excitement. I love the young people singing and the young people involved. I love an older generation that's here and on board, so supportive. And man, I love what God's doing through the preaching of His Word. And I want every part of it I can. I mean, I don't sing in the choir, and there's a reason for that. I want to be in every Sunday school class. I want to go up there and teach the teenagers sometimes. And I want to go to the women's Bible study, see what they gossip about. I'm just kidding. Some of you woke up like, oh, he knows. Okay, but listen, I want to be a part of everything. But hold on. Now watch this. But you know, if we're not careful, we'll forget our mission. I want to ask you a question, friend. When's the last time you were on your phone? Okay, got it. When's the last time you watched the news? When's the last time you're on social media? I'm not on social media. Okay. When's the last time you did your favorite hobby or watched your favorite show? Got it? Yeah, got it. Don't call me, Pastor. Yeah, of course we all got it. Can I ask you? When's the last time you shared with somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ and you won them to the Lord? Are we on mission? Are we in? Can I ask you, when's the last time we prayed, God, give me a lost soul to win? God, give me a lost soul. Well, I don't, you know, are they out there? Oh, man, they're out there. About 3 weeks ago, I preached a message on prayer and talking to the Lord. And just being real with God and having a conversation, something we're teaching our kids right now, not just we have our memorized prayers, and I'm guilty as well. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the food. Jesus, I pray, amen. We have those, but really talking to God. We got done with that message. Lois, I don't think you mind me sharing this, but my, is Lois 10, Carrie? Lois is 10, forgive me. So Lois came up, my 10-year-old, and we got together. It was just her and I. We began to pray, and I said, Lois, why don't, I was trying to catch my breath. I said, Lois, why don't you pray? And she began to talk to God. I mean, like a 10-year-old. She knows Jesus. She began to talk to God. And I'll never forget, she said, now watch, Jesus, would you please go to hell and tell those people we're sorry we didn't tell them about you. Jesus, would you go to hell and tell them we're sorry we didn't tell them about you? All of our things, all the things we love, all the excitement, all the joy, all the vacations, all the ministries. Where's our heart for lost souls? Discipleship. It's coming. And it's going to transform you and I to have a heart to continue in His